Go.
So this is... No, no. That's because there's not any complicated lyrics. So this is now we're going to delve into the signs of self-interest, beginning with the air sign in that category. And this is a modality of self-interest. Just a reminder, self-interest does not mean selfish. But the objective of the mystery school, relative to the element, is to take that particular element as far as it can go for its own sake. Now, certainly, throughout the years, Aquarius has been identified with higher love, higher truth, higher meaning. You would think of it as being egalitarian, universal, and you might think, therefore, it's like a giver. Oh, no. It will reach those principles, it will reach that understanding, because that's really the truth. You know, I mean, the truth of the higher consciousness includes all those things. But the objective of Aquarius is quite experimental. These days, when I think of the objective of Aquarius, it's actually the ultimate objective of it is the purest, farthest out version of objectivity that we could possibly have. Now, I made that, remember in a previous conversation, we were talking about how it isn't possible, really, for any human being, even the best astrologer on the planet, to be truly objective, because we're part of the unfolding. We can't be separate from it. We're part of the one reality's unfolding and expansion and so on. But the objective of Aquarius is objectivity. So, for example, you might not think about this at this time in history, but the original motive of the Age of Enlightenment in the West, in Western history, is called the Enlightenment, which was the beginning of science, was Aquarian. Because the original motive of science was to have an alternative to the superstitions, the two main superstitions, the church and the rather fallen and out of purity pagan traditions. So the science came in an attempt to, let's just see what's true here without any subjective bias. Now, this doesn't really have any connection to most science today. Most science today is riddled with subjective biases and is open to the highest bidder. I'm speaking of the original motive of such an approach. Now, we find exactly the same thing in the realm of spirituality, where there's a variety of techniques. Every mystery school has its own approach to enlightenment, to realization, to spirit. And let's say we take the category of meditation. You know, there's a thousand different techniques of meditation. Which one is the Aquarian? It's called, one name of it is Vipassana. The English translation of that is insight. But it's basically the development of the high witness. The eye behind the eye. The fair witness that is just noting everything. Oh, yes. I see that. No judgment. You note that. You note that. Since I'm on the subject at the moment of what the enlightenment path of it is, one of the most well-known insight teachers, I think it was Joseph Goldstein, in one of his books, he actually very much puts in a very simple sentence what the enlightenment technique of this is. If you can increase the speed of your capacity to note everything, my thought, my feeling, note literally every phenomena that's rising and falling. If you get to a certain speed and acuity of noting, the entire manifest universe falls away. He called it something like NPS. If you can reach a threshold of notings per second, then you get the, from the Aquarian perspective, you go into the pure high witness.
Per second.
Notings per second, yeah, not per minute. So, now, backing away from that for a moment, the Native Americans or indigenous people would relate this approach to the eagle. The eagle being the most spiritual of all animals. Why? Because it's the one that flies highest and closest to Great Spirit. Biggest view. Spacious. So one of the words that is very much associated with Aquarius is spaciousness. Now I'm coming at Aquarius here from a philosophical and spiritual perspective here first. We will bring it down to earth here. The realm of Aquarius is of the celestial realm. So basically, one of the precepts of Aquarius would be, all is well, the universe is unfolding as it should. In its pure form, this is absolutely the truth. We're not looking at the shadow of Aquarius, which I made a joke about earlier. There is no shadow, right? That there's only love and light. There's a variety of statements in our current time period for that. Spiritual bypass. Or it's also called light polarization. Oh my God, it's amazing how clearly you can see how that operates.
There's no problem.
Now, let's back up for a moment in order to look at the lineage of Aquarius. So this would be applying to the moon positions, okay? You know, so I always pretty much say the same thing to people with Aquarius moons. We don't have any Aquarius moons in here. Oh, yeah, yes. Sorry about that. At least you have Taurus rock. The journey of involution. But we always say to Aquarius moons, you know, you're not really from here. Aquarius, it's as if Aquarius moons have dropped in from a less dense dimension. There are three ways of describing that. When I say less dense dimension, it might be sort of like what some of us have experienced in our lives in what's called lucid dreaming. You know, in a lucid dream, you can fly, you can move through walls. If you're really good at lucid dreaming, you will discover at a certain point that anything you desire can manifest in a maximum of 2 seconds. But of course, it's on a other channel. That also can be thought of as the realm of Fairy or the David Kingdom. Less dense realms. Another model on this would be maybe somebody who was really from this planet, but they didn't partake of the affairs of this world. You know, like, say, someone who's not, it sort of looks like Sagittarius, and that's why Sagittarius and Aquarius are very close relatives. It would be like those, let's say, who are on the mountaintop or in the safety of academia, and they're developing their intellect. But the approach is so that you don't have to get involved in ordinary affairs. So they remain separate. It's like the story of the yogi who's an advanced meditator on the mountaintop, and then he eventually has to go into town. And he goes into town, and the ox cart goes by and splatters him with mud, and he just loses it. You know, you just simply cannot handle density. At its most extreme, those who have too much Aquarius, clearly That's why I made the comment, thankfully you have a lot of Taurus, because you're not in this category. But those that have a lot of identification with Aquarius, it's like these are the people you might run into in a spiritual community or a meditation group, and it's like, don't get so close, you're messing up my field. You know, so there's a refinement. There's an elegance and a refinement. It's as if they're not used to this level of density here. Some of these individuals are the ones that also have telepathy, or they're the ones that can actually hear and feel the electricity in the wires. They don't have the same, not like me, Capricorn Moon, where it's like, gee, Jesus, thank God I don't have to feel or hear any of that stuff. You know, it's like there's filters, you know. But there's like, so the third version of this would be really as if you had come from an advanced star system. You know, the Pleiadian story, you know, where, and if you come from the Pleiades or Arcturus, you know, the science fiction storyline is the prime directive. And the prime directive, if you've never heard of this, states, if you're a member of an advanced civilization, there's a law against interference in the affairs of other beings. But it's always been understood there's one way around it. You can choose to incarnate amongst those who you want, to either experiment on or help. So, now, I mentioned earlier about the difference between involution and evolution. The Aquarian Mystery School is where this journey of involution is at its most extreme. In fact, it's identical to what is meant in the opening stanza of the Vedas. The opening stanza in the Indian strict scripture of the Vedas states, the Creator, after having created the creation, entered into it. It's a journey down and in. In fact, the level of density on this planet is actually so extreme that it's a great risk for the Aquarius moons. You know, they'll forget what their original mission was. Can't get out, or it's like, where am I? It's just so heavy. In fact, for many Aquarius moons, and I'm speaking of the moons now because it does give us some flavor and essence to the whole mystery school, the primary turning point in the life of an Aquarius moon was when they actually agree that they actually agreed to incarnate. That actually, because basically it's like, really? This is what I had in mind to come into this? And they're ready for the ships to take them off, you know? But now, the journey is down and in. It's involution. And there's usually two reasons for the journey. One is to be of help. That's the person who comes in to bring advanced knowledge and, you know, advanced principles, higher love, higher truth, higher meaning, into this world, to be of help. Maybe even to be a householder. You can look at it. But then also, the other reason is to experiment. You know, like the theory of Aquarius is about sex. Wow! Can you imagine sex in a body? Wow! Let's see what that's like. Emotion! Jeez! You mean to feel it? It's not just an idea? So not just the feeling of love, but the feeling of anger or rage or passion or turn on or, you know, even pleasure, right? All of those things. To actually feel them in the body. So it's a journey down and in. But the Aquarian Mystery School is these higher truth, higher meaning, higher purpose, and all the rest of that. It is the realm of the celestial mysteries. One other way to understand this, and that's just kind of bringing it, an element of this is bringing it a little bit more down to earth. There's the symbol of Aquarius, which is like two waves. One wave can be imagined as the aforementioned spiritual approach. Aquarius, objective awareness, the witness, stepping back away from the experience. The positive expression of that in the meditational circles is called non-attachment. Sometimes it's the positive version of detachment. But the other way is, when it's related to the human realm, since it seems to refer to something that has always been true about Aquarius, the commitment to be absolutely and completely unique. I've got to be me. Up to and including what is a positive word for Aquarius, which is eccentricity. So if an Aquarian type has a problem with that word, well, then they haven't really settled into their true nature. Eccentricity is really important for Aquarius. To be unique, not to be like everybody else. You laugh at me because I'm different, I laugh at you because you're all the same. The aforementioned thing there. So it is a free electron. So we already talked about Gemini as being a free electron. Aquarius is another one of the free electrons. I often remember something that my former wife, Aquarius Moon, used to say. I would be giving workshops about relationships, and I would get to the part about hair bonding. And she would just start going off, and she'd say, "What is this hair bonding? Sounds like bondage to me." And the Aquarian thing is free electron, not bonding. Spaciousness and freedom. Autonomy, sovereignty, freedom, free electron. So in that sense, it's like a cousin with Sagittarius.
To think about the free electron, because it can jump from atom to atom.
Yes.
And as it jumps around, it changes it too. Mm-hmm. So that there's an aspect of Aquarius that's very much about being a change agent. And so as a free electron, when it jumps to something else, it's creating that change aspect.
And, which is how we get into the idea that it's been associated with revolution. But not like the soldier who storms the Bastille. It's more the ideas that spawn the revolution. You know, the egalitaire, libertaire. You know, it's like bringing in that imagery of freedom and equality, and you know, it gets people stirred up. But the Aquarian isn't going to participate in the battle. We're not going to get that involved.
I think of free electrons as having a lot of energy. Would you go so far as to say somebody who has a lot of Aquarius or Gemini, for that matter, is a free electron, like if they are a healthy expression of that, they should have a lot of energy?
Actually, it's a kind of energy that... Have you ever seen these individuals who have a huge amount of energy, but it turns out all they are eating is sunlight?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't. Yeah, it's like they're able to process those more refined energies into, you know, these Aquarian types that get to the top of the mountain first. You know, but it's just that they're lighter than air. You know, so it's not like big muscles or conditioning that's doing it. You know, they just, it's kind of like the famous story of the Aquarius Moon that gets up on top of the high chair at age 9 months and jump off. I thought I could fly. Damn. Law of gravity. You know, you have to take that into account this time. But, you know, a lot of Aquarian, Gemini and Aquarius, those two are the ones who are sort of the lightest. You know, strength. But, you know, they're the acrobats. They're the ones that defy the regular density. Or try to, anyway. It's not lacking in energy. It's just it doesn't power through it. It digests light.
And
mana.
And can stay up all night easily.
Oh, right, they have trouble sleeping, usually.
Yeah.
It's hard for them to work with the rhythms of ordinary human beings.
Yeah.
You know, they have their own nervous systems. It's as if they have Pleiadian nervous systems. So now, some examples.
That would be the moon more and the person in the sun, or more the person who has Aquarius in the moon?
Where they have that and stuff like that?
Yeah, and that electricity where they're in gymnastics and they just fly and they're kiteboarding.
Well, I wouldn't say every Aquarius woman can do that. It depends on the aspects. But
the general flavor
of Aquarius is like that. It's sort of detached from the normal density that other human beings are dealing with. And they like spaciousness and freedom. It's like, along with what we're going to get to Virgo later, but the two places on the wheel that most require a lot of space was Aquarius and Virgo. And that's a healthy thing for Aquarius. If it's overridden, they get very grouchy.
And are you speaking from Aquarius more from the moon or the sun?
Yeah, like in relationship, like, for example, I was going to get into this next. So it's like, what about Venus or Mars in Aquarius? So if a man is with a woman with Venus in Aquarius, you have to know that her greatest balance is when she has a lot of space. And which can be very scary for a man. Because, you know, she's gone out so far, will she come back? But if you try to prevent her from going out, then it's worse. Same thing if a man has Mars in Aquarius. To value that spaciousness. You know, Aquarius, it's like they need time on the mountain alone. They need time out in the ocean. They need time, right? It's often found with surfers. You know, it's like alone with the waves, you know. So to value that aspect, you know, so if you happen to be with, well, you have the experience with the triple Aquarius. They only understand freedom. Mm-hmm. Even though they can be incredibly experimental and they'll bring things to you innovative and unusual and different, you know. There's one version of Aquarius that is not at all, for lack of a better word, carnal. I mean, it's like they just don't even get into sex at all. It's like the version of Aquarius, which is where if we only eat raw food, if we only, meditate all the time, then we won't have to have a menstrual cycle. And basically, it's the refinement of the system so that basically the organic process is shut down. There's that version. It's like but then there's another version that's highly experimental. A very common pattern with Aquarius is that maybe in their 20s, you know, let's go to the bars and try out five different kinds of men in a week.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to see what that's like energetically. And usually they make the choices to be with the ones that are not taking it seriously either. They just simply want to check out the energy until they've done it enough, and then they go on to other things that they want to experiment with.
Like at the same time.
maybe, yes. I mean, there's some. The example of the person I'm thinking of, it was different bars five nights, you know, so they wouldn't run into the same person. But that's part of the experiment, just to see what it's like. Not for the purpose of intimacy, not for the purpose of a commitment, not for the purpose of anything else, but just see what it's like.
I've known five women prostitutes, or not sure what the Christian word would be, but that were majorly.
Yeah, that's one of the patterns, and it's like they're having the experience, but it's like they're not completely there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not the way we would think about being completely there if we're really being intimate. Yeah. And actually, there's a part of that which is actually what the Aquarian intent is. It's like in the spiritual way of looking at things, it's to be of the world but not in the world. You know, where you have that sort of detached place. You're not fully there. You're just, in a sense, sampling. I think that in some respects, the modern music scene is very Aquarian. It's all about sampling, not absolutely really being a musician. It's just, you know, they can always play this thing and this thing. And we're creative because we put the right things together. You don't have to play an instrument. Sampling,
looping.
So, anyway, that's a little. Let's see. Gods and Goddesses. This is tough because it's probably the least human of the places on the wheel. Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of like it's outside the system. It's from elsewhere coming in. My favorite example of a goddess image for Aquarius is kind of a hybrid. It after the Tiananmen massacre in China, in different parts of the world, overseas Chinese students put up statues, which were kind of a combination of the Statue of Liberty and Kuan Yin. Mm-hmm. And they named it the Goddess of Democracy. Now, this is kind of a throwback to what happened during the French Revolution. I don't know if you all know this, but during the time of the French Revolution, this is what you're talking about, a real, overwhelming, all-level revolution. You know, they replaced all of the standard religions. They got rid of the calendar. They instituted 10-day weeks. Everything was overturned. And they erected as the number one deity, the Goddess of Reason.
Did you
hear that? French Revolution.
Really?
The Goddess of Reason. And that's actually where the Statue of Liberty came from. It's from France.
Mm-hmm.
Goddess of Democracy. So, and the male version of it, I mean, I don't know of any mythic gods that represent those qualities, unless we want to look at all the stories from Native Americans or Polynesians about when the Pleiadians arrived. And they all have the same stories. That's one of the things that's really interesting about both Polynesia and Southwest Native and Mesoamerica. They all have the same Pleiades stories about where we came from.
Can you do the Lost Atlantis sort of thing too? You got that.
The misuse of technology, and that has frequently been considered to be the Aquarian scientists run amok. You know, that is not connecting to hearts or compassion or things like that. Just for the sake of the experiment, let's see what happens if we can. Well, I don't know. This is happening now. I just heard this recently. This is really true. I'm not making this up. Have you heard about the spider goats? They injected spider DNA into goats, and now these goats are giving milk that have long strands that are like spider webs. The spider has this amazing, the strength of the spider web is like off the scales, but you can't get enough from a spider. So they injected DNA into goats, it's the spider goat, and now they can get these long spider strands out of the goats.
Why do they want this?
Because of the strength of the... They've been able to make shirts from it that are like a shirt like this. This sucks a bullet.
Oh.
How does that feel?
And I mean, milk just makes you strong as an ox.
Yeah, and what was the question is, what about the goat? From what I've heard about this, is that it doesn't damage the goat except it can't reproduce.
Right. So that's and it's constantly putting out a spider web or whatever.
The other example of this is the fact that they injected human ear DNA into a mouse.
Oh, I've seen that.
And they grew a mouse on it.
And they grew a human ear.
So are you saying this is what happens when an Aquarius becomes a scientist?
They blow the around.
You heard about GMO.
Let's see what happens. How much different is that than, wow, sex in a body? Let's see what that's like. You know?
Mm-hmm. So our Aquarius goddess was the goddess of democracy.
Mm-hmm. And so I imagine the god of Aquarius is like a scientist, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's not, there's no mythic figures unless you look at... Probably the closest example, although it's not purely Aquarian, it's partly Aquarian, would be sort of a figure like Prometheus, who steals fire from the gods, which is, of course, an analogy for misuse of technology. There's ramifications if you do stuff like that.
So how do you define the Aquarian shadow? I mean, I think a twisted scientist is kind of a shadowy kind of guy.
Well, when I was spoke of the shadow of it before, I was speaking of it from the celestial perspective, that the vision of Aquarius is that all is well, the universe is unfolding as it should, and they're living only there.
So they're basically above any kind of polarities.
Right. You know, so you run into these people a lot. I mean, they're the ones let's say you're going through heartbreak, or you just have this huge jealousy about a relationship, or, you know, you're going through grief, you know, stuff like that, and they say, they try to be understanding, but you just absolutely know they've never been there.
And they don't want to go.
So the shadow aspects are very difficult to... You actually connect with them energetically because
that's a broad perspective. They have to kind of go into the underworld somehow before they can actually get a clue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There is such a thing as a shadow.
Mm-hmm. And many of the people that I know that have the strong, like Aquarius Moon or whatever, their storyline is they have heavy Saturn, heavy Pluto. So basically, they've been, in their current life, they've been forced enough to go into the underworld experience.
Is that with the moon or with the rising?
Well, if you come in with too much Aquarius, yeah, that's the strategy the soul will use to make sure there's something else that happens, you know, that you actually get to be more human. That some vulnerability or some ability to feel feelings.
So,
Spock could be the guy. Could be the.
He's very Aquarian. Yes.
Totally.
Spock. And I should also mention that a great number of individuals who are on the autistic spectrum have strong Aquarius. Mm-hmm. It's as if they're operating at a different speed than all the rest of us.
The Asperger issues.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. They also can be savants also.
So what kind of influence is it if somebody has a moon that's really on the cusp of doing something else? Is there like an overflow?
No, we don't in this system we don't recognize cusps.
Okay.
Yeah, it's either one or the other.
But the house, if you were in the living house, that would have a Aquarian influence.
That would be a certain flavor of what Aquarius is about, yes. Uh-huh.
So for a rising sign, Aquarius rising, what would...
Yeah, thank you for asking. That's the last thing I want to say here that we have time for with Aquarius. There is the ultimate spiritual technique. I mean, I know I gave you another one, which is like the High Witness, but this is an application of it. This is probably one of the most famous stories in the history of spirituality is in the Bhagavad Gita, the spiritual scripture from India. Mm-hmm. And in the story I'm going to refer to is about Arjuna, who is a great general. And this is a historical battle. It was actually a battle between the one god religion and the many god religion. It was an original huge battle between Persia and India. And Arjuna is the general. He's totally and completely confused. He cannot figure out what to do because he knows if he goes to battle, millions will die. He also knows if he doesn't go to battle, they still will die. Plus, there's an additional problem. Members of his own family are on the opposing army. So he's in a place of complete confusion, doesn't know what to do. And it was at that point that his charioteer, who is Krishna in disguise, says, I have a solution for you. You must go to a field of consciousness beyond duality and polarity. You must go into pure consciousness, and established in that place of pure consciousness, you will automatically know what is your duty, dharma. So he learns that technique, and the way the Bhagavad Gita unfolds is that he is a general, so after being established in pure consciousness, he did go to battle. The purpose of the story is not to say it's better or worse to go to war, it's just that he resolved the dilemma by knowing what his dharma was. And so you go to that field of pure consciousness to get the answer.
And not being attached to the fruits of one's actions.
Right, thanks. Yeah. Just do what you do without having to be in that state of confusion about it. All right.
Well, you were mentioning earlier about Gemini, and you were going to tell us a story about Aquarius.
Yeah.
You said, I'll tell it later. Is that the story?
No, I said at the beginning, it's like the Aquarius way of enlightenment is also how to go use the mind to go beyond the mind, but it's different than Gemini. Gemini is through like a koan, you know, like busting the mind by the mind not being able to figure something out.
Mm.
With Aquarius, it's to go to the eye behind the eye. So one is a path of a detached cosmic overview, and the other is to bust the mind.
So that story of Arjuna was an example of a healthy form of Aquarius.
Right.
Aquarius rising.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. And so if you have Aquarius rising, then none of these shadow stories apply unless you have to go through the minefields of the approach to it.
Mm-hmm. Wilton, we're only going to be able to just reach tonight, just so I don't overstretch the boundaries.
Okay. Yeah. Say that busting the line, how does one do that? Try this observer thing.
Well, the observer, finding the observer is going behind the eye behind the eye. That's not busting the mind.
Yes, what is
that's going into pure consciousness. What's busting the mind?
Yeah.
Irrational experiences you can't figure out.
And just realizing that
your mind can't know it all.
And there is no answer.
Right.
The answer is there is no answer.
Mm-hmm.